Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Best Time by Sienna Waters. Narrated by Felicity Monroe. Chapter 1. It had all started with a baby, so it was weirdly fitting that it all ended with one, too. Lil had been bustling down the street, anxiously in search of caffeine. Just that morning, she'd flipped the switch on the machine in the kitchen and been rewarded with a snap and a sizzle and the smell of burning. And she couldn't think straight without her morning coffee, so she'd pulled on track pants and fled to the cafe on the corner to get her fix. But she'd never made it. Along the way, she'd skipped to one side to avoid a woman with a stroller, the baby inside howling to high heaven. And as she'd skipped, she'd seen the pacifier clatter to a halt on the sidewalk. Bending to grab it had been the natural thing to do. The smack on the head had been somewhat of a surprise. Ow! She'd looked up to see sparkling brown eyes and a kind face that was as wrinkled in pain as her own must be. She and the woman had banged heads as they simultaneously bent to pick up the pacifier. Lil had smiled. Tentatively, at first, then bigger and bigger, until her face was stretched into a grin and the other woman was laughing. By the time Barb had introduced herself, the woman with the stroller was gone. The pacifier lay on the ground between them, and Lil was well and truly smitten. That had been 2 years ago, and Lil knew damn well that her life would never be the same. Hell, she'd known that since Barb's head had knocked into her own. Which made what happened later all the more painful. Lil sighed and put her elbows on the counter, chin in hands, watching dust spin over the shelves of books in front of her. As much as she'd like to hate Barb for leaving, she couldn't. She loved her, after all. Loved her enough that the wedding was already planned and their dream bookshop was already rented and the cats were already adopted. Because there had to be cats. That was part of the dream. Loved her enough that she'd assumed their dreams were the same. She'd assumed, quite naturally, that one day there'd be a baby. Until a chance comment about kids started an argument that eventually ended up with Barb hitching her backpack over her shoulder and walking out the door for the last time.
"Hadn't you talked about kids before?" Caden, her best friend, had asked, astonished. "I mean, you guys were getting hitched and everything."
Lil had opened her mouth to answer him that of course they had, when she'd had to slam it closed again. Because she realized they hadn't. She'd assumed that they had, that they'd wanted the same things, just like she'd assumed so much else. And Caden had shaken his head and wrapped his skinny arm around her shoulders and let her blink away the tears while he pretended that she wasn't crying.
"On the hunt for a new Louise Penny."
Lil snapped back to attention and saw that she had a customer. A pint-sized woman with curly gray hair and a crooked smile.
"Not in yet," she said. "But it's nice to see you, Marge. How are the grandkids?"
Marge sniffed.
"Spend far too much time in front of their gadgets, and not enough time with a book in their hands."
Lil smiled sympathetically. "Tell me about it. The Penny won't be in for a couple of weeks yet."
"Blech! I was looking forward to a hot bath and a dose of murder this afternoon."
Marge sighed.
"Business looks to be booming in here," she said, as her eyes roved over the empty store.
"It's 1 o'clock on a Wednesday," Lil pointed out. "Hardly peak shopping time."
"What you need is more life, more events, book clubs, that sort of thing."
Which had all been part of the plan, of course. But Lil really didn't want to have this conversation. She knew that once Marge got started, there'd be no stopping her. So she said, "Have you tried Sujata Massey? The first Malabar Hills book is right up your street." Marge's face sparked with interest.
"You think?"
"I know," Lil said, which was true.
She prided herself on making good book choices for other people. It was a skill, Barb had always said. She dashed off to the appropriate shelf and grabbed a copy, returning it to Marge's eager hands. 5 minutes later, Marge walked out swinging her paper bag. Another satisfied customer. Lil couldn't help but feel a small burst of pride as she slid the cash register drawer shut. Her very own bookstore. The bookworm had been designed in her head for at least 20 years, since she'd been old enough to know that bookstore owner was a real job. Sometimes dreams came true. As long as she kept her eyes away from the far right corner. The corner that stood in darkness, shelves and builder's tape marking it as off-limits to the average customer. The corner that should right now be pumping the smell of fresh-brewed coffee, that should have a chattering group of readers at tables, that should have Barb behind the counter. A bookstore without a cafe is like Costco without hot dogs, she protested. Since when have you eaten Costco hot dogs? Barb had asked. But she was raking a hand over her short hair, already bowing to Lil's idea. You know what I mean, Lil had said. It's part of the dream, Barb had finished up. It's actually not a bad idea, though. And she'd been persuaded that this was the role Barb could fill in her dream, and Barb had seemed happy. Now the half-finished cafe loomed in the corner like some kind of graveyard, and Lil couldn't bring herself to look at it. Hey, Lil! The high-pitched voice got louder, and then faded in the course of two words as Billy Flynn dashed past the counter to the comic book section. That's Ms. Bradley to you, Billy's mother said as she followed a more sedate pace. Seriously? Said Lil. She looked down at her Doc Martens, ripped jeans, and flannel shirt. I'm not sure anyone's ever called me Ms. Anything before. Gail Flynn grinned. There's always a first time. Billy's not in school today? Dentist, grimaced Gail. Which is why we're here, to pick up a reward. And then we're off to hunt down a very late lunch. I could murder a coffee. Lil could feel the unfinished cafe behind her looming ever larger. This one, Billy said, running back up to the counter and sliding a comic across it. Zombies, Lil said. Nice choice. They're my favorite, said Billy earnestly. What do you think would be the biggest problem with the zombie apocalypse? Dr. Tom said it would be people getting infected teeth and then dying because there'd be no dentists. But he probably said that just because he's a dentist. Lil considered, then said, Snoring. Billy snorted. Snoring? Think about it, said Lil. You gotta be quiet all the time so you don't get caught. But at some point, you've got to sleep. You're a snorer, and boom, the first time you fall asleep, some zombie's going to track you down and eat your brains. Huh, said Billy, though he didn't look terrifically convinced. He took his comic and danced off, leaving his mother to pay. He's a handful, Gail said. Looks like it, said Lil, handing her some change. Enjoy your coffee. Her heart lurched a little as she said it, and lurched even more when she saw Billy's little hand reach up and take his mother's as they left the store. 3 months ago, her future had been so clear, perfectly mapped out. 3 months ago, she'd been happy. Now what was she? Sure, she'd had her mourning period. She'd cried and eaten ice cream and done all the things she was supposed to after a breakup. But now, she needed to move on, which was easier said than done. Moving on implied a destination, a goal, something to move on to. Truth be told, she'd been happy, and now she was just empty. Barb had been like all the others.
She disappeared when things got serious. The dreams had been Lil's, not theirs, something Lil was just about ready to accept. She had the cats. She didn't need anything else. She sure as hell wasn't about to risk getting hurt again. Unfortunately, whilst the dreams might have been hers alone, the plan and the finances had been a shared ideal. Lil sighed as she looked around the shop. It was so almost perfect. And she'd struggled along for the last 3 months. She supposed she could do it for longer, maybe. But in the end, she wasn't entirely sure she could handle the bookworm alone.
Chapter 2.
"Anything else, ma'am?" The tall, tanned waiter placed the glass on the side table. Condensation glistened on the outside, ice clinked on the inside, and a slice of pineapple and an umbrella sat on the rim. "No," said Riley. "Thank you," she added, almost as an afterthought. He smiled, showing even, bright white teeth.
"You're most welcome."
He walked off gracefully, despite the fact that sand was sliding under his feet. Riley always felt clumsy as a child walking on the beach. She picked up the glass, took a sip, and let the warm thrill of alcohol slide down her throat. She wasn't much of a drinker, let alone a day drinker, but... The glass clicked back on the table. There had been a lot of but in her life recently, she realized. A whole ton of unfinished sentences. A whole ton of unfinished thoughts and acts and plans. Maybe unfinished would be what was written on her gravestone. "Not a bad view, is it?" said a voice. She turned and saw the woman lying on the next sunbed over. She was older, skin like tanned leather, skinny, and in decent enough shape. A cocktail was in her hand, large sunglasses were over her eyes, and for a second, Riley thought the woman was talking about the ocean and the waves. Then she saw the four men playing volleyball on the shore, all sweaty, tanned skin and tight butts, and she laughed. The woman turned to her. "Haven't seen you here before." Riley was still surprised that she'd laughed. Actually laughed. Surprised enough that she responded rather than smiling politely and turning away like she normally would have. "It's my first time," she said. The resort was top-end, private, and very, very expensive. "Oh," the woman said. "Then I'm sure I'll see you again. Once you've been once, you always have to come back."
"I doubt it," whispered Riley into her glass so that the woman couldn't hear.
The woman sighed and settled back onto her lounger. "It's nice to be close to home. I mean, Europe is lovely at this time of year, of course, and Southeast Asia is wonderful for the shopping. But this... a couple of hours on a plane and I'm here. It's just perfect."
Europe had been overwhelming. Like walking into a candy shop when she'd been a kid. There'd been too much to see, and she'd had no idea where to start and in the end had given up.
She'd spent enough time in Asia on business that she'd spent only a couple of weeks there before giving up on that, too. She'd landed here only because she'd read about it in the onboard flight magazine on the way back from Dubai. Her passport was almost full. The last 2 months had been packed. So why the hell did she feel so empty and lost?
"I'll tell you something," the woman said. "I wouldn't mind taking one of those volleyball lovelies back to my cabana."
Riley surprised herself by laughing again.
"Or two," added the woman.
Riley grinned and raised her sunglasses so that she could see better. Maybe this was what she'd been missing. Human contact. An actual conversation.
"Why not take all four?"
she'd asked mischievously.
"I suppose I might as well," said the woman, turning and grinning right back.
Then her face creased into a frown.
"Say... Don't I know you?
Riley's heart sped up.
I don't think we've met, she said, letting her sunglasses drop back down. No, we haven't, said the woman. You're Riley Winters, aren't you? I just saw a piece about you in Forbes a few months ago. I only paid attention because my third husband was one of your first investors. A lot of good it did him. He died before he could spend any of the profits.
I'm sorry, said Riley automatically.
Then she cursed herself for responding. She needed an emergency extraction from this conversation, and she wouldn't get it by indulging the woman.
Oh, don't be. He died under one of his mistresses, so he went out happy, the woman said. But you are her, aren't you?
Riley debated what to say to this. There didn't seem much point in lying, though.
Yeah, she said finally, hoping that her tone would signal the end of the conversation. Well, at least you know how to take some time off. A little relaxation wouldn't have killed my third husband, nor the first two, either.
Honey?
She signaled to the waiter, and Riley lay back again, turning slightly to indicate that she wasn't interested in talking anymore.
Time off. Yeah. She'd never taken a day off in her life. She'd busted her ass to get her coffee shop up and running, and when Wanda had come on the scene with her bright ideas and initial investment, she'd busted her ass to get their chain of coffee shops up and running. In fact, she technically still hadn't taken a day off. She'd quit. That was different. Quit and walked away, and everyone wanted to know why, and she hadn't said a thing. Everyone had wanted to know why strict, cold, business-like, ambitious bitch Riley had suddenly sold her share of a successful business to her partner. But she kept her mouth firmly shut. Because in the end, it was her business. Because in the end, they had no need to know. But really, truly, honestly, it was because in the end, she couldn't make herself say the words. Couldn't make what she knew to be true, real, by putting it into words. And she definitely couldn't deal with anyone's sympathy. 5 months ago, almost to the day, she'd been standing in her bathroom brushing her teeth, and the pain had come so hard and so fast that she'd collapsed on the floor, mouth still foaming with toothpaste. It had been like being stabbed in the stomach. Lying on the cold tiles, she hadn't been confused. She'd known immediately what it was, and she'd known immediately what she was going to do about it. She'd been 18 when her mother died, old enough not just to remember her, but old enough to have helped, old enough to have doled out medications and gone to doctor's appointments and wiped up vomit and worse. Dana Winters had died from stomach cancer when she was 41, a full 9 years older than Riley was now, which hardly seemed fair when she thought about it. So as the cold tiles dug into her back, Riley decided that she wasn't going to do this, or rather she was, but on her own terms. There'd be no doctors, no chemo, no endless waiting for test results. There'd be no tears, no nausea, no forcing herself to drink nutrition shakes. There'd be no hope. That's what it came down to in the end. There'd be no glimmer of hope that she could latch onto and lose. Because that had been the hardest thing of all, watching the hope slowly leak out of her mother's eyes. And hell, what better way to go out than by watching half-naked men play volleyball under the hot sun? But the problem with dying was that it was turning out to not just be a longer process than she'd assumed, but also a far more boring one. She'd done her best. She'd tried to live, because that's what she'd decided to do with her remaining months. She'd decided to see everything and do everything and really live her life. But all the traveling and the hotels and resorts and sights and experiences somehow left her all empty and unfulfilled.
Bringing her to now, laying on a sun lounger and indulging in conversation with a woman she hardly knew, but who apparently knew her. She was lonely, she realized now. That was the problem. She was lonely, and there was no one to fill the space inside her. Okay, there'd been lovers, plenty of them. And she could almost stir herself to be excited about the volleyball men, or the blonde on the lounger at the far end with the slim, tanned thighs and perfect boobs. It just seemed like so much work, though. So much work for someone who would pretend to understand, but who wouldn't. Not really. But there was one person who would understand. She picked up her drink again, draining half of it in one gulp. Why hadn't she thought about it before? That wasn't exactly true. She had thought about going home in the past so many times, and every time she hadn't. She just hadn't been ready. But this? Maybe this made her ready. It made so much sense. She slid her glass onto the table and stood up, grabbing her towel and the battered paperback copy of War and Peace that she'd been struggling to read for the last month and a half. Not every must-have experience was really worth having, she was beginning to realize. On second thoughts, she threw the book back down again. There really was only one person that would understand. Only one place that she could really be. She had to go back to the beginning. Chapter 3. Lil pushed the shop door open and heard the bell cling. I thought I told you to lock the door, she grumbled.
I turned the sign to closed, Caden said reasonably. But since you were going to be right back, I didn't lock the door. I made a wild guess and thought you might like to come in that way, rather than through the window or busting down one of the walls.
Ha ha, Lil said. She put two cardboard cups down on the counter before going back to lock the door. She had to be strict about closing times, otherwise people just came in and started browsing. Not that she should be turning down customers, but she had to draw a line somewhere. Caden was frowning at the computer screen, his thin face lit up blue and his fingers dancing over keys. He was wearing a striped t-shirt which Lil distinctly remembered him wearing in ninth grade. Given that Caden was now 33, the same age as her, she wasn't sure whether to be exasperated that he was still wearing it or amazed at the garment's staying power.
Ugh, what's this? Caden said,
tearing his eyes away from the screen long enough to glare at the cup in his hand.
A latte, she said, picking up her own.
No, seriously. A latte?
She sighed. Fine. A skinny latte. He rolled his eyes.
Seriously? He asked again. Look at me. Does it look like I need to lose weight here?
He stood up and did a little twirl, all the better to show off his scarecrow-like figure. He'd always been skinny. Gangly, his mother had always said, all arms and legs. Skinny and nerdy, with glasses and socks that didn't match. He was messy and unkempt, and in Lil's eyes at least, adorable. Fine, okay, she could see why he attracted bullies like flies when at school. But now? Now he'd make the perfect match for some lucky girl, and she just couldn't understand why he hadn't been snapped up.
It's not just about the weight, she said. It's about cholesterol and all kinds of other things.
Well, how about making it about my taste buds? He asked, sitting down again. No more skinny lattes.
Fine, she huffed. Have it your own way.
As if, he said with another eye roll. It's your way or the highway, I know that.
She peered over to see his screen and ruffled his hair.
You love my way.
He grinned.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
So, how are things looking?
The spreadsheets on the screen made zero sense to her. Lucky that she had Caden to sort things out, something he did weekly and for free, too.
You're doing okay, he said, but he sounded doubtful.
Okay?
You're keeping your head above water, but only just. And this month, you've had the back-to-school crowd in, so you know that next month's likely to be a downturn.
She blew out a breath. It wasn't like she didn't know what was going on in the shop. Obviously, she did. I can put more cash into the business.
Lil?
It's not like the parental units don't keep me well supplied, she said.
Yeah, but that's kind of not the point, said Caden,
turning to look at her.
You can't just keep pouring money into the shop. At some point, it needs to be self-supporting, or there's no point, is there?
In essence, Caden was exactly the same as when she'd met him in fourth grade, just a lot bigger. Sometimes she forgot that he was so smart, far smarter than she'd ever been. She was the strong one, the leader, but Caden was the quiet, clever one, the one that she should listen to more often. What do you suggest, then? She asked. He said nothing, but his eyes strayed to the dark corner where the half-finished cafe sat. No.
Lil, it's been 3 months.
Is there a time limit on broken hearts? She asked. Are you putting a deadline on my grieving? And she was only half kidding.
I'm telling you that there's a solid business opportunity glaring you in the face, and you're not taking it. Something that could help you out here.
She pulled out a stool and sat down, low enough that her chin was almost on the shop counter.
Caden,
it sounded whiny.
Lil,
he whined right back. Another deep sigh. Maybe it was time to be honest. I can't do it, Caden. I just can't. I can't face it, not without Barb here. I get that it's a good decision, but maybe it's time I stopped kidding myself.
Meaning?
Meaning, maybe I should get out of this while I still can. She looked around the empty store, the lights dim, and the air smelling of paper.
No.
She laughed. Really? Just no.
Just no, he agreed. This is your dream, Lil. You've done so much already. It seems a shame to quit now just because...
He trailed off. Just because I practically got dumped at the altar? She finished for him.
You didn't get dumped at the altar, but things have to move on. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Isn't that what you always say to me?
It was, to be honest. But that was because Caden had never actually had a serious girlfriend. Because he consistently fell for women that, if she was being objective, were way out of his league. And then he got hurt. So if anyone could understand pain, it should be him. Caden, this is a big thing. I gotta accept that I can't do it alone. This was what had been brewing over the last 3 months. This was why she was afraid.
You've got me.
You have your own job. A very well-paying one. Something to do with computers and numbers that made her eyes glaze over slightly when he tried to explain it. Something that excited him and kept him glued to his desk in the basement of the house he'd grown up in.
Doesn't mean that I'm not there for you, he pointed out.
Which was true. Caden had always been there. Hell, she was practically a part of his family. She couldn't remember the number of times she'd slept at his house, eaten at his house, his mother laying a place for her at the table nearly every night by the time she was 13 or so. I don't know, she said, because it was the truth. She didn't want to let the dream go, but she needed help.
Let's be reasonable here, Lil. You need to open the cafe. It was part of the original business plan, and it needs to open. Can we agree on that, at least?
Come on, Kay. How can I sell books and make coffee at the same time?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?